Have you settled this? Cycle!
To raise a wolf, to tell you, to title your daughter,
my wife!
May all your futures be pleasant ones, not like our present ones. Bring L'chaim to life, to life, L'chaim!
L'chaim!
L'chaim, L'chaim to life! It takes a wedding to make us say, let's live another day.
Drink L'chaim to life!
We'll raise a glass and sip a drop of schnapps in honor of the great good luck that favored you. We know that when good fortune favors to such men, it stands to reason we deserve it too. To us and our good fortune,
be happy, be healthy, love life!
And if our good fortune ever comes, kiss to whatever comes.
Hey, what's going on, America? Welcome back to the All-American Savage Show podcast. I am your host, Johninsky. Johnowitz. of course, if you don't recognize that, that is the scene from Fiddler on the Roof when the dude promises the other, the butcher his wife or his daughter his hand in marriage. And it was pretty good. It's pretty good. The camera's not working today for Josh for some reason. I don't know why. Probably because you're ugly.
Broke it.
Broke the camera.
Finally did it.
Yeah, finally did it. Oh, my God. And that's actually a really good movie. I do like that movie. It's pretty good. People know why I played it. Dude, I woke up this morning, and dude, these bee stings are still, like, just swollen.
Look bad. They do look bad.
They look bad. You look like you're dying.
Ugh.
Okay, you're dying. No, I got the wrists and the neck. And, you know, they didn't hurt, but, like, bro, the swelling is just kind of like it won't go down. So I took some Benadryl last night, knocked me the hell out. Just interesting. Like, it's been a long time since I was stung, but I don't remember it lasting this long.
It hurts.
And I'm not allergic to bees. Yeah. I don't know. That's so weird to me. What's going on, Rumble? What's going on, Facebook? What's going on, YouTube? What's going on, Twitter? Hopefully you guys are having a wonderful, well, it's Friday. Thank God for that. You got any plans this weekend? Games?
We're wrapping up some soccer season, so we had one last night.
Yeah, you said, for those that don't know, his kids go up to... you're a Christian private school.
Yeah.
So they're doing the sports as well. And so describe for the audience what was going on yesterday as far as like the police getting involved.
That was Monday. Okay. So it's the playoffs. So it gets
are Christians, by the way.
It gets heated. Yeah. It gets really heated. So yeah. I guess some of the parents didn't like the calls that the officials were making. And these are little girls. These are like 8, 9 year old girls. So
it's not like they're boys, they're girls.
Yeah.
Would you say there's more mothers involved in the girls' teams, or is it still the fathers, like more prominent?
I would almost say 60-40 more mothers.
Yeah.
So 60% mother.
But they're worse.
There are a lot of dads that show up.
I wonder if I would assume the moms are worse though when it comes to like girl sports. Or do you think dads are still the worst?
I don't know. It's pretty equal. I mean, obviously you're going to cheer for your kid.
Of course. So. Unless you're just a shit parent. Like imagine rooting against your kids. You suck. You're going to be a failure at life.
They had to send an email out.
Should have made you an abortion. Sorry.
It's a Christian league and then, you know, sportsmanship, all that stuff.
So wait, the cops got involved. What'd they get called for?
Just because the parents wouldn't leave because they were yelling at the officials.
So they literally had, and this is a Christian school.
Yeah.
So they bring
it's
the cops
a Christian
in.
League, yeah.
Christian league, okay.
Yeah, so they had to get the popo involved.
The popo comes in to intervene like Christians and stuff.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It reminded me of old school where Vince Vaughn is the soccer coach.
You're my
He's
boy
like,
Blue?
Let's make an official, and he throws the chair on the field.
I'm thinking of, it's old school. You're my boy Blue? Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot Vince Vaughn was in that.
It's a big role.
Dude, it's been a minute. How old is that movie?
I think it came out in like 2005.
Jeez. Yeah. We're getting old, dude. We're getting old.
Hard to believe.
No, not at all. And Will Ferrell looks pretty old, too. Like, he's going to turn into like a prune. Like, his forehead and brows keep like drooping further and further. Like, as soon as eyes are going to be, they're going to be gone altogether. You're not going to see his eyes. It's going to be weird.
They're just drooping down.
I
guess.
No, it's this morning I woke up and I was reading some comments from the beekeeping stuff. And when I was looking at the panels, you know, each hive has 10 panels in it. They said it's a 7/10 rule. If 7 out of 10 of them are filled, you need to stack one. So I went out there this morning. This time I made sure to smoke the hell out of them. I told you, my bees are Jewish. They were gassing the bees. It's funny. It's funny. But I lifted up the top panel. I replaced the bottom piece of it. It's like a solid board, and they have it tacked in there. But I bought a ventilator. So basically, it's just the same kind of bottom panel, but it has a metal screen on it. So basically, it lets airflow up into the hive and doesn't keep it, you know, really humid in there. That way, you know, they don't get all pissed off, because summer just could be freaking hot. But anyway, I lifted the top off, smoked the hell out of them, took out two panels, added that to the new ones. What are you laughing at over there?
Smoked the hell out of them.
Smoked the hell out of them, absolutely.
Gonna sting me, bastard.
Damn Jewish bees, trying to hoard all the honey. But that's their new name. They're my Jewish bees. I've got the suicide ducks. I've got the gang chickens. I've got the hell demon twin, the ferret twins, the fur snakes. Then Athena, she does her own thing. But put the two panels in, so I added a layer. So basically what's going to happen now is the bees will go up and they'll start to expand even more. But I was looking at the panels really closely today, and you can see in one panel, I see, like I said, larva. I saw a larva in there. And then in the other parts, I saw actual honey being made. So essentially what you're wanting them to do, I guess, is expand more into the larva and store the honey up top. So I'll give it like a week. I'll go back out there and see if those two panels in the top one have expanded even more. And then just continue to see what happens. Still haven't spotted the queen. Of course, I'm not even really looking for her. But apparently the queen, when you buy her from the store, they mark the head with a permanent marker, like in red. Yeah, a little crown. Yeah, a little bee crown. Oh. So, but yeah, no stings. The suit feels weird, though, man. It feels so weird. Because it's like 3/4 inch thick mesh. And so it's kind of like a cotton layer that's, it's not going to protect you against anything. Except the mesh, it has like little rubbery mesh inside there, so the bees can't get to you. But they're like sitting there flooding your face. It's like, dude, this is kind of freaky. I'm not going to lie. So
you look good in it, though.
You think so? Nobody no. looks good in that.
No, I don't.
Nobody looks good in that. What are you talking about? Oh, my gosh. But yeah, it's therapeutic. And I got a lot of great feedback on Instagram about it. You know, a lot of fellow beekeepers are like, say, hey, man, check for this, yada, yada, yada. But essentially, man, it's kind of like trial and error. I saw one guy comment. He's like, yeah, I've killed 4 colonies. It's not for me. I'm like, how did you do that? How do you kill a colony? Like, did you kill the queen? I don't know. Maybe they turned liberal. And the crime came in. I was like, yeah, we're shutting it down. We're out of here, boys. We're moving. Now those liberal bees flew to someplace else to vote accordingly and turned into their own little beehive. Now, this episode today is brought to you by ShellShockCBD.com. We're running a great deal today, folks. Right now, you get a free tee with the purchase of a ShellShock mug. There's no code needed. Just add mug to the and tee to cart. Mint is all that's left. We have mint hemp tea. Stuff is pretty good. But like I said, we're not bringing the tee back. It's a slow mover. We're going to go ahead and I think we only have like 70 left. So it's while supplies last. Yeah. So if you order a mug, you get a free tee. That's what, 12 bags? Yeah, tea bags. You like tea bagging each other with mint? There you go. So go over to the ShellShock page. Check it out. Again, that is one free tea, a mint tea, with a purchase of a Shell Shock mug. Also, don't forget to head on over to the All American Savage Show t-shirts, where you can get the Hogan Flair 24 or Tartan Feather 24, which is back in stock. And the All American Savage Show stays on during sex shirt, as well as the Eagles Not Chickens. A lot of you motherfuckers wanted that shirt, and we did it. And now you're not buying it, you sons of bitches. I'm never doing shirts with y'all again. I was bitching at Josh. He's like, man, these motherfuckers say, oh, buy it. And then I just like, here it is. Like, yeah. You get me like blue balled for shirts. Yeah. Kind of over it. You tease shirts. Oh, my. I keep having these great shirt ideas, but I don't know. I've given up on shirts and apparel. Like, I remember starting out within the Arena Fitness. Like, dude, it was a lot of work. It's a lot of work, like folding, packaging. It's just such a pain.
Part, yeah.
But the hard part was maintaining the numbers to where it's like you're doing pre-orders. Like, okay, I've got to have this many extras or extra smalls, medium, whatever. And then you've got some motherfuckers like, can I exchange it? It's like, I didn't order extra. No, you can't, you fat ass. You can't exchange it. Lose weight or get shorter. Not my problem. No. And I mean, you have to take into account stuff. Like, so you have to order extra of every size because somebody's going to say, can I exchange it? Whatever. And it's like, yeah, I got you covered. Yeah, schmuck. So, Game with a $1 dono says, I want a hat of the Eagles. I bought one of each. I want a hat of the... thank you, Drunken Wizard, monthly supporter. Oh, dude, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Yeah, apparel is a bulk order business. The only way to, like, really make it in that game is You know, if I was being very serious about starting a shirt company, shirt brand, it's not going to be with quotes. It's going to be design. It's going to be like a design. It's like, dude, that's actually pretty cool. Probably not words. Something just, I don't know. Like, what do people wear these days? I feel
shock t-shirts.
Yeah. I'm sure they're wearing shell shock t-shirts. Absolutely. They make great gym shirts. I'm not going to lie. I love my shell shock gym shirts. They're pretty good. The tri-blend is fucking amazing. But
I really like the sweatshirt. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I love that sweatshirt.
Yeah. John is fat phobic. What's to be afraid of fat people? They can't even run after you. I mean, most they'll do is breathe heavy at you. I mean, what's to be afraid? I'm just saying. Yeah, got a lot of news today. Oh, bro, Donald Trump stock, $30. It's down to like $30. I'm like, fuck. Even I kind of feel bad. I was like, dude, you opened it like 77, boom, and it just keeps dropping. Now, if I was you, man, I'd wait. See how low that thing's going to go and then buy. Buy it again. And then maybe you can make your money.
Low enough, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to have to see what it kind of plateaus at. Like right now, it's still trickling. So give it some time to plateau and then just watch. I mean, who freaking knows? Some people said like if it goes all the way down, which I don't think it's going to go down. I mean, as far as like bottom out. But I don't know, man. I think it's got still a long way to go to drop. Because I think Trump was Truth Socialing like, go buy more of the Truth Social stock. It's like, bro, you're going to see a little hiccup. Like, that's the thing.
$31.53.
Jeez. Yeah. I saw it this morning or yesterday. It was at 30. So it does that. It has like little burps and then it drops again. Burp and then drops again. So we'll see. The biggest thing is like once it gets to the bottom, bro, buy. And then just hold on to it. It's all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and if he gets reelected, it's going to go up. I mean, shit, I might even buy some stocks on that one. Let's get into I listened to this really interesting thing that Yuta had sent me. Yuta Reamer, friend of the show. This is talking about the Zionist argument. Now, Zionism, for people who don't know, is like to the establishment of an Israeli state. That's the whole thing about like why people don't like Zionists. It's like, okay. It's like, so it's like, does Australia have a right to be? But they look at it more as like, does it have a right to be a Jewish state?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. But Yuta sent me this video, and it actually is pretty good. I want you guys to take a listen to it and tell me what you think. Stand by. Here we go.
Explain on that.
Hold on. Let me get my headphones. All right. Here we go. Refresh it.
Doesn't exist.
Could you explain on that?
It's a front. It's not real. It's perpetuated by two sides in order to create a reality where people are arguing on Zionism. In fact, Zionism was a political movement at the beginning of the 20th century to establish a state of Israel. And guess what? The Zionists won. There's a state of Israel. There's no such thing as a Zionist anymore. You either support the democratic Jewish state of Israel or you don't. What does that mean, you're anti-Zionist? There's a Jewish state. I went there. It's there. There's a government. There's a democratic state. There's people that live there. They have a system of government. They have a whole life and a culture. You can't get rid of them. A college student gets up in the middle of New York City and says something like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And everyone's like, oh, it's anti-Semitic because they're trying to get rid of all the Jews. But the thing that allows them to say something like that is because other people say, well, I'm a Zionist. If you're a Zionist, then I can be anti-Zionist. That war ended a long time ago. It ended in 1948. It's over. What they're doing is they're saying that I don't want to kill the Jews in Israel. I just want to get rid of Israel because that's a debatable thing. By me saying I'm pro-Zionism, I'm saying that it's something that's up for debate. Right. But in fact, it's not something up for debate. Zionism itself, it doesn't exist.
Could you explain on that?
So he just, that's the argument right there. And I was kind of like, that actually makes a lot of sense. It's like, I mean, I keep seeing the Zionists, like the establishment of Israel, but it's already established. Like, so I was like, what are they talking about? Like expansionism? It's like, which again, I'm kind of like, I don't care. It's like, that doesn't involve me. But I just had that sentiment. It's like, this is a very interesting way of looking at it. So you see all these people, it's like, fucking Zionists. It's like, there's no such thing as a Zionist. They've lost. The war's over. Like, they won. The establishment of Israel is like, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was very interesting. It was, like, very educational. I wanted to show that to the group. You're welcome. Learn something new every day. Learn something new every day. And then you got more stuff coming in from California that are weighing in on a billionaire owner of In-N-Out. Billionaire owner of In-N-Out. Jeez.
I saw the heiress's house when I was in California.
Yeah.
Massive. In-N-Out? Yeah, it's got like a water park in the backyard. It's crazy.
God bless capitalism.
Yep.
God bless capitalism.
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
And terrible fries.
I know I'm going to catch flack for this. I think McDonald's actually has the best French fries. I do. Their burgers are complete crap.
If you go to the right McDonald's.
Yeah, good luck with that one. They're all different. And usually the workers are kind of like, they're not deserving of $20 an hour. I'll tell you that right now. It's like, can you spell cash? No. You're getting paid 13. Schmuck. That or just give me some illegals in here. Let's just do that. I'm telling you, dude. No, I think McDonald's has the best fries. And I'm not going to lie. I've been very disappointed by Whataburger.
Really?
The burgers are shrinking.
Are they?
Oh, bro, the patties look like they took two McDonald's patties and stuck them together, and they're still like don't even equate to one old school Whataburger patty. But then again, we've cut back a lot on the going out to eat.
Yeah,
like I'm just done. Like tonight we're doing steaks, and we found a local butcher. We're gonna start using that because you know you go to these corporate stores like the one I think our favorite right now is called Sprouts.
Yeah,
I think it's owned by Brookshire's. They actually have some really good stuff in there.
Produce?
Yeah, the produce is really fresh. And I love the fact that you can get a beer while you're in there. They have a bar. And the thing is, like, every time I go in there grocery shopping, I get excited. It's like, let's go get a beer. It's like, yeah, I don't know why. It's the most childish thing ever. I don't care. You're just like, yeah, we're going to go spend money. And now that I'm doing the whole farming or the vegetable thing, now I'm like looking at the vegetables going, yeah, but like, I know what I'm talking about. I have no fucking clue. I'm just sitting there like, yeah, this looks like a good piece of ginger. We can gingify that. I don't know what I'm doing. But I like looking like I know what I'm doing. Like Sheila this morning, she was in bed and I woke up to go to the bees. And she takes this video of me through the windows. Like, it's my beekeeper. And so you see me like smoke in the air in front of me. And it's like, dude, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. It's like, I think
taking
I do.
Taking hits off of it.
Taking hits off it.
Like, you don't know you're being videoed.
Yeah. It's like, you have a problem, sir. It's like, I do.
He's my idiot.
Josh is like, I'm going to rename you Stingy. It's like, yeah. Two. I'm just doing two. I'm going two is it. I don't want to get stung again. It won't go down. Like, I should consult the doctor if it stays erect for more than 12 hours.
Or maybe other beekeepers, ask them how they handle their...
The dudes at the store said chewing tobacco. They said, no shit. As I take a little piece of chewing tobacco, stick it on it, wrap it. It's like, it just takes this thing, takes the swell away.
First of all, you're going to have to stop being a little bitch.
I wasn't a bitch. I'm bitching more now that the swelling won't go down than when I got stung. And it was nothing more like a little pinch. It's like, ah, fuck, that hurt. But that was it. But then, like, last night, I'm like, dude, it's, like, throbbing. I'm talking about the bee stings, you perverts. I'm talking about the bee stings. So, everybody's like, you know, smoke goes into the hive. Yeah, no shit. Well, yesterday, I didn't have enough. The pellets are like little, think of them like little cotton swabs wrapped, and you drop them in there, soak it in some lighter fluid, light it, and it creates like a little fire. Well, I don't have any dead grass out there to smoke anything. So this morning I grabbed some of the chicken wood chips, threw those, smoked perfect. So much smoke. Now, I've got an even better idea. I'm going to get like one thing of like pot and then like drop it in there, and I'm going to get my bees baked out of their fucking minds.
One thing of pot.
Yeah, I'm going to get one. Well, can I have one marijuana, please?
One pot, please.
One marijuana. I'm going to take one marijuana thing, drop it in there, and get my bees so baked that they're going to be like doing like I don't know. I don't know. They're going to like eat up all their honey, lay around, get fat, not
probably
do anything.
Use hemp.
Would that get them high? Hemp's not going to get them high. Why am I going to use hemp?
It's probably better for them.
Dude, I want my bees getting baked. I want baked bees.
Baked bees.
Nah. Excited to see it, man. Excited to see it. I'll go back in a week and I'll keep people updated on my Instagram, showing what it's about. But yeah, the billionaire owner of In-N-Out takes a strong stance against price hikes amid California's new minimum wage. Good old Gavin Newsom. Lindsay Snyder, the billionaire heiress who became the president of In-N-Out Burger at 27. You're the president of In-N-Out. Good Lord. We've been doing it wrong, dude. We've been doing it wrong this whole time, Josh. And it's your fault. I'm going to blame Josh on this one. Hold on, folks. Let me do this. Boom. It's Josh's fault. 27 years old. You believe that? What did we do wrong in life?
Didn't get born into the In-N-Out family.
Oh, my God. Can you just imagine, like, that is your life? Like, your whole thing is just cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers.
Hold on, let me edit the
deep
video.
Menus.
Bro.
Just put everything on the menu, for God's sakes. Stop making it a mystery.
It's back. It should never have left. All right, so let's keep going. Yeah, perfecto. Perfecto. New York, prices for In-N-Out burgers are rising by 25 cents. Now, again, most people out there will think that 25 cents is not a lot. Yes, it is. On the grand scale, it really is, it's at least on the freaking business side. Well, the cost of sodas have also increased by a nickel. Recently, a TikTok video showing a customer, that just rubs me the wrong way when they just even say a TikTok customer or somebody on TikTok. It's like, yeah, because TikTok is like the app version of Wikipedia. It's like, and Sheila does that to me. She's like, where'd you learn this? Like, saw it on TikTok. It's like, oh my God. No, don't do this to me. It's not her fault though. It's just nuts to me. Minimum wage. Okay. The customer was found saying in the video, okay, so it's $25.39 for a 40 piece nugget and two large fry. You couldn't even throw in a medium Sprite in there. Holy crap. Like, there's the thing though. Like, you think 40 pieces of nuggets, but their nuggets are tiny. Like, two equals maybe half of what one used to equal.
That's In-N-Out?
That's everywhere. Like
Chick-fil-A. Or is that Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A's are fucking tiny. They should just call those chicken burger or chicken boogers. Like, they're itty bitty.
Yeah.
Those are not nuggets. Those are, bro, no. You're a Christian establishment. Stop lying to people. Those are not nuggets. Those are like the nuggets of nuggets. Those are what chicken nuggets called nuggets. I don't know, dude. And they're not even that good. The sauce is. The sauce is amazing.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Sauce is great. They've got that right, but let's keep going. While people might assume a narrative of entitlement for someone like Snyder, who became the president of In-N-Out Burger at 27, her journey tells a different story. Despite her privileges, Snyder started out in entry-level positions and gradually worked her way up to the presidency. Snyder's journey. I don't care about this. Okay, this is one of those female empowerment. I don't care. I'm talking about economics here. I don't give a shit about that. But the funny part about this, though, is that California Burger King franchise to expedite self-serve kiosk rollouts over $20 minimum wage law. How many times do Californians have to make this mistake? How many times do governments, state-level governments, make this mistake of saying, we are going to stick our big fat fingers into the pie of capitalism and free market, and every time you do, you just fuck it all up?
I know.
So ultimately, now here's a perfect example of what I say. When the government interjects itself to establish good idea fairy things from liberal voters who are just quite flat out retarded, quite honestly, that's just what they are. You're fucking retarded. There's no other way to explain this. But when you sit there and say that we deserve, it's like there is no deserving. Like this whole deserve thing, that's an individual concept. Now, what you deserve versus what you get, those are two different things. Now, when you're flipping burgers and say, I deserve, like, no. That's not the way economics works. Like it'd be like, you know, I think I deserve a $50,000 a month wage raise, Josh. I mean, you're like, well, you think you can deserve that, but economically you're fucking stupid. That's not going to happen. We can't afford that. We go bankrupt. Okay. So these people out there get it up their butts of like, I think I deserve I'm just going to say, I don't care. You're flipping burgers and frying French fries. Is it hard work? I'll say you're on your feet all day. Yeah. You're moving a lot. Yes. I could say that's a sucky job. But the skill level required is minimal at best. I don't give a fuck if this offends you. I think baristas at Starbucks probably have a harder time because they have to memorize certain combinations versus burger and fries. Just don't fuck up the lettuce and tomato. And they do 50% of the time. So it's kind of like, do you really deserve $20 an hour? And people are like, well, do you look down your nose at us? It's like, well, quite frankly, depending on how old you are when you're working there, yes, I kind of do. I kind of do. If you're like my age and you're working at Burger King, which God willing, that never happens to me because I want to continue to be successful. But it's like, yeah, you kind of fucked up in life. Maybe stay off the drugs. I don't know. Either way, get an education, stay in school. Don't hang out in gangs, yada, yada. But either way, now that they're saying $20 raise, listen to this now. And that's just Burger King. Burger King is now taking the position of, well, we've got the money. We can invest in technology to circumvent this and ultimately save money. Whereas in mom and pop businesses, they don't. They can't. They don't have the money. So naturally, the government goes in there again, sticks its big freaking face where it doesn't belong, and makes it more difficult for the little guy to be successful. I'm just so sick and tired of this nonsense. Like, how can you create a competitive market when the government keeps coming in there and putting their finger on the scale? It doesn't work.
It's corporate cronyism.
It's corporatism. It's ridiculous. But now, listen to this. It doesn't just stop there. Labor group out of California. Can we just, like, blow the San Andreas fault line and push California off into the ocean? Be like, you're on your own.
They've got terrible ideas.
They're horrible. They're like a cancer state. Now, look, I don't hate Californians because, again, you know, there's a lot of conservatives in California that are actually really good people. But the California liberal is akin to the New York liberal. But the New York liberal isn't as hippie-ish, and they'll actually fight, whereas in the California liberal, these guys are nothing but beta male bitches. Like, they're cucks. They are cucks. It's ridiculous. But this labor group demands, again, a unionized group probably, a labor group, think socialists, demand California $20 minimum wage for fast food workers extends to all circles. And sectors, excuse me, send all sectors. So now it doesn't matter what the job is. You deserve, the minimum wage is $20 an hour. Well, it doesn't take a genius to kind of look over your shoulder and kind of see what's happened in the wake of the $20 an hour minimum wage for franchise restaurants in California, over 60 locations, now pay a minimum wage of $20 an hour. It does not take that much turning to look over your shoulder and say, well, how many businesses shut down as a result of this? Now, let's also look at the metric for the opposite. How many businesses has this helped create? Zero. So you're hamstringing mom and pop businesses. Corporate businesses are going to stay afloat. They're going to be just fine. And ultimately, you've helped create less jobs. In fact, you've probably reduced a lot of jobs. So who did you help? The few that in corporate that make $20 an hour? And also you've increased, they're going to increase prices on menu. We've already seen that. So the good intentions thing, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And you know, the sad thing is, folks, they want you. Now listen to me when I tell you this right here. Every single one of you listening to my voice, these people in these sectors, the private sector, in economy, whatever, economics, they want you to feel stupid. They want to belittle you. They want to insult you. They want you to make it feel as if you don't know what you're talking about. This is basic economics here. You've been taught to say or to think or to hear or at least understand of this idea of, you know, it's not that simple. Folks, yes, it is. It's a lie. It is that simple. It's literally choice A or choice B. And if you choose choice A, based upon prior data and empirical evidence that's undeniable, irrefutable, we know what's going to happen. So if you choose choice A, which is the increased minimum wage, what does this do to the private sector and the secondary and tertiary effects? We've already seen it. We're seeing it play out right now. Or you choose choice B, which is don't fuck with it and leave it alone. But you as citizens, you as thinkers, you as voters, they want to complicate it. God, it's not that simple. Yes, actually it is. It is. Remove the government. Remove the government from this. This is not free market. A fair wage advocacy group. Well, what is fair wage? What is fair? Who makes this? Who is the arbiter of fair? I'm always so confused on this. Who is the arbiter of fair and balanced? Fox? No. What is fair? What is beauty? What is truth? Democrats have made a very good job at this idea of, like, I'm telling my truth. And I see conservatives saying the same bullshit. I'm telling my truth. No, there's only one truth. Now, you can give your perspective of said truth, but there's only one truth. Yeah. Who makes that determination? Fair. Well, the unions are trying to. So now the thing that sucks about this is if you got these businesses that are, I'll be honest with you, they're shit CEOs, they're shit corporations, they're greedy as hell, but greed does make the world run. I'm not going to lie about that. But then to offset that, you've got these labor unions, which I understand the reasoning of it. If you go back like the early 20th century, you know, women were working in very, very poor conditions. I remember talking about the fire in Chicago, I think it was. A women's laundromat burned down and like a lot of them died because there were no like regulations like governing a lot of the stuff as far as like workplace environments. So I understand why America kind of had to go through this dark age under capitalism saying, look, you know, you've got to have certain thing, rights of the workers, if you will. Labor unions did a good job making that happen. So it's kind of like, yes, there's a need, but the problem is with those unions, they turn to the same corporations they're fighting against. That's the difference. And now you got to pay union dues, and what are you getting for it? Meanwhile, the union people, they're getting rich. They're getting rich.
They are.
So it's like, I get both sides of this. But it's kind of like, well, ultimately the point that I'm trying to make, though, is what about the good businesses? Like, we're a good business. We pay a very fair wage. Our employees are covered with benefits. They have the option. You know, we leave them alone. Big boy rules. You get paid good money here. But meanwhile, you have these other people that are attacking businesses all across the board saying, you're greedy. Pay them a fair wage. Who determines that? I'm just curious. Who is determining what a fair day's wage is? And yeah, that's the other part, JSAC, thank you in the chat, saying like, you know, livable wage. It's got to be a livable wage. What if the job isn't meant to be?
Yeah, well, $41,600 in California doesn't seem like a livable wage.
Not at all. But, you know, isn't
it
funny
though? How about lower your taxes?
Yeah. That's the other thing. They're trying to penalize the free market for the actions of the government. Why is the economy such shit? Why is everything so expensive over there?
That's a huge jump from $16 to $20.
Mm-hmm.
That's a massive jump.
Yeah. Well, now they're trying to get it. And, you know, here's the thing, though. I think they're actually going to get this in all sectors. I think they're going to do it. Newsom has already bent the knee on this as far as doing it for fast food franchises. Fox Business spoke with Saru Jayaraman, president of the One Fair Wage, to discuss what she describes as the skyrocketing levels of home insecurity and food insecurity post-pandemic. Don't you like that, though? Isn't that funny? The pandemic that y'all wanted to lock down over? Like, the irony and just, oh my God, the stupidity of this is astounding. You crybaby liberals wanted everything locked down. Oh, grandpa killers, blah, 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 blah. And we sat here and we told you the negative repercussions from this are going to be felt for a long time. And guess what? You're feeling them. Now you're feeling them. But look at what you're trying to do. Folks, like, do you see this playing out now, real world? How stupid this is? How insane this is? You crybabies go in there and say, oh, we got to wear masks. Oh, the vaccine. And then come to find out it's nothing more than the flu. But in the meantime, in the wake of all your crying, bitching, and moaning, you've got hundreds of thousands of businesses that are just smoldering, destroyed. Meanwhile, big corporations made trillions in profits. Big pharma got backed. And now businesses are trying to recover. And oh, by the way, don't forget that these franchises now are developing monopolies. Small mom and pop businesses are like, they're not growing back. It's not the economy for it. So who's staying afloat? The corporatists. They're doing great. They're doing wonderful. And then you fucking bleeding heart liberals. Well, you know, liberal women. So essentially now you want to blame the capitalists for the situation you've gotten yourself in by trusting the government who destroyed all the businesses, created more inflation with the PPP loans. Billions in fraud, might I add, which is hilarious to me. Like nobody, Ray Charles could have seen that one. I was like, wait, the government's giving out free money and you don't think there's going to be anybody taking advantage of it. Are you really that stupid? And yes, people in government are really that stupid. So now you've got these people saying, oh, the things that were caused by the, you know, the shutdowns of COVID, what you should actually be saying is that the situation, the economic situation we're facing because of you fruitcakes, because of you. If you don't like the economy, blame a liberal. It's because of you and every single conservative that jumped, and that includes Ben Shapiro. I'm sorry, Shapiro, Trump, this is not even a political divided thing. This is like, if you back the vaccine and you push this nonsense, you're at fault. You're at fault. But why is nobody standing up and saying, you're to blame. You should be to blame. It was the biggest I told you so that took so long to finally come out. And now, like, COVID accountability is fucking dead and gone. We're not going to get that. So, yeah. They shut us down, locked us down, destroyed our businesses, caused the inflation. They're the reason why you can't do half the shit you want to do. And look what we're facing. Voting for two of them again. Same fucking situation. You got to love that. Same situation. But instead, liberals are going to blame everybody else, minus themselves. The grandma, the grandparent killers. It's their fault. They get the fuck out of here with that nonsense. It's ridiculous. But I'm telling you, though, they're going to get this. They're going to get this. They're going to get this $20 an hour.
I thought they already had it.
No, I'm saying for all sectors. And then you know, that could be something that we see really trigger an economic just like tidal wave of small businesses like, we can't afford this. And in certain businesses, there's no technology to do the circumventing that, say, for example, McDonald's and other places are. There's no technology. So they're kind of like, fuck.
You think that'll happen here in Texas?
Huh?
You think that'll happen here in Texas?
I hope not.
I don't think it will. I don't think Abbott would.
Abbott's on like what? His last 2 years? What is it now?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that? Dude, if Texas turns blue, fuck me.
I just don't see that happening.
I think it flipped back red back in the 70s,
California,
I think.
That are, yeah, I think yeah. more people are coming from California that are
yeah.
you know, more conservative leaning or at least tired of Democratic
yeah.
Policies.
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
I mean, because look what's happening there. You can't open a business.
In this economy?
If
hell
you're
no.
Elon Musk and you move your business from there because you can't afford it, then who can?
I love it when the points get proven that when you try and go after billionaires, all they're going to do is just pick up and move somewhere else where the tax incentives are way better.
Right.
Amazon's doing it. Elon's doing it. And then these freaking liberal Democrats are just sitting there like, you know, wondering, shaking their head, wondering why. It's like, you're the blame. You're the problem. And then you try and penalize the rest of us that actually want to do it the right way. And again, like there's no COVID accountability. So what's to say this won't happen again? Because it's entirely possible. That's pathetic. That's pathetic.
They got someone want to call in?
Yeah, sure. We got that one. And then we got more CNN stuff here. CNN's Allison OJ. Like, have you seen, like, the OJ nonsense?
I saw the one clip of the CNN lady talking about...
Literally got that one right here.
I can't think that everybody thinks that same exact thing.
Yeah.
At least, like, all black people have that in common.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
All right, we have a call coming. You want
yeah, go
it?
Ahead. This is CNN's... I don't understand how these people don't get fired.
The beep.
Yellow.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on, boss.
Yep.
And about the wages,
Hey, brother, you're breaking up. Are you on Wi-Fi? Like, I can barely hear you, man. They're like, you're choppy.
No, sir, not on Wi-Fi, not on Bluetooth. Your show is muted, so you don't...
Okay, I got you loud and clear now. Yeah, go ahead, I got you, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I brought everybody around with a pocket full of money, but even with a pocket full of money these days, because of how our government's been spending us into a hole, the money's worth less, so of course yeah. people want more.
Yeah.
It's almost like a catch-22 situation.
Yeah.
I don't think it's feasible to give everybody $20 an hour.
No.
But there are some jobs that are worth more than they're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, I kind of see it both ways, but at the same time, I think if you want something more, you got to put out more like you have.
Mm-hmm.
Put out more. If you want more, you got to put out more.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it the, you know, what do you bring to the table versus,
yeah.
you know, hey, I flip burgers, so just pay me $20 an hour.
That's yeah.
just not working.
That's just one of those things of like, again, like you said, yeah, I see it from both sides. Like there probably are a lot of jobs that are worth more than $20 an hour, but it's the free market that's going to determine that level of worth. For example, like say like I want to bring on assistants. Like when I was doing Tavern Tankards in my garage, if I wanted to bring on an assistant, it's not necessarily a matter of, you know, the worth or value of the job. It's more like, what can I actually afford? What's the most I can afford? So it's kind of like, how much of this am I willing to cut into my profits over? And that's got to be determined based upon basic economics. Now, some business owners will say that, you know, I'm not going to pay them that much. Well, then a lot of people are going to say, like, I'm not going to work for you. And then it's like, okay, well, if I want to offer a competitive wage, I'm going to have to compete with the market. It's no different than, like, say, for example, real estate. If I want to list a house out there, well, what kind of rent are you going to put on it? Well, what's the rent around there? What's the square footage? How many bedrooms? So a lot of it's determined around what you're surrounded with. And economics, when it comes to business, it's really no different. So I get what you're saying. It's like, yeah, I would like to see people paid a good wage, a fair wage. But again, the question I have for you, though, is like, but who makes that determination? What determination is made to say this is a fair day's wage? Because your definition of fair for flipping burgers, a fair wage, might be completely different from mine. So which one is right?
No, the one that is right is the one that you said is right. The marketplace places value on that yeah. wage.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. I agree.
There's also, you know, the other side of the coin mm-hmm. where, you know, if our government was not spending money willy-nilly and making it worth less, we wouldn't need more of it
yeah.
to, you know, get by.
Yep. And to print more.
We're in a bad pinch with yep. these corporations. Some yep. of them have taken advantage of the schmovid
yep.
pandemic and really put the screws to us.
So, isn't it funny how the same people that advocated for that?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Thank you very much for, you know, staying on. You know, there's a lot of us out here. You know, we might not be throwing money your way every time you turn around, but, man, we love your show.
I appreciate
it,
yeah.
We love you because you common sense and hardcore about it. I appreciate it.
God damn, you made me cry over here. No, it's just sometimes, well, dude, you just, you're up against.
I appreciate you doing what you do.
Well, thank you, dude. I do. I know. I sincerely appreciate that. I am going to stick around. Sometimes I just got a bitch. I saw somebody in the comments yesterday. It's like, he does this every occasion. It's like, yeah, I got to vent. I got, you people are my therapist, whether you realize it or not. It's like, y'all are the ones I'm bitching at. So I appreciate it. And it's not that I want money thrown at me every time I turn around, but it's just kind of like, sometimes you just got, you ask yourself, like, is this even fucking worth it? Like this, like, just, you know, like Shapiro and the rest of them have these, they have product, you know, assistants and all this other shit. Like, they don't even do the writing. They have actual writers. And we sit here, we look at the stuff day after day. It's like, dude, I want to blow my fucking brains out half the time because it's just so fucking depressing. And so we've considered, like, what can we pivot the show towards talking about that would interest people? But it's kind of like, I don't know, you build this platform of like, people know you for politics or they know you for your fat shaming rants. It's like, they don't want to listen to you and call in to talk about video games. So it's like, fuck me. It's like that catch 22. You're stuck doing what you kind of enjoyed at one point. So I don't know, man, just pray for me. That's all I can say. Pray for me. Well, I'll get over it.
I can tell you this much, John. You know, you are actually paid in a dividend that is most precious to every human being on the face of the earth, and that's their time. And as far as I can tell, you don't abuse it, so lift your head up and keep it straight, boss. You're good on.
I appreciate it, dude, sincerely. Thank you for those words. I needed them. God knows that Josh doesn't talk to me sweet like that at all. He just, he cusses at me and then throws stuff at me.
Shut that mouth right now.
Appreciate your call, man. Thank you. God bless.
Yep, sir. Yep.
Josh never says nice things to me. He never says nice things to me.
I'll slap it.
CNN's Allison O.J. Simpson represented something for the black community. I'm not making this. Actually, you know what? I'll play the clip. You guys just need to hear the clip. This is how racist.
Show tomorrow. Everyone tune in to Smirconish. Saturdays at 9 a.m. It's country in racial ways. Kind of what the meaning of this was from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I posted something on social media last night about what was your conversation in your home in 1995 when the verdict came down, and what was it last night when we found out OJ died? And my premise is that it's still rooted on race. And the issue is the reason why that case was so charged. I too got to watch the verdict in eighth grade, Zisnar's class. And I saw it happening. I was happy. I don't think I had a concept of like who was guilty and who was not. I was a child. You know, I probably shouldn't have been watching the case about two people being killed at the end of the day. But it was so racially charged because of what had happened just before with Rodney King, but also just how Black Americans feel about policing. It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the Black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And the history around how Black people have been persecuted during slavery, there were just so many layers.
You know, you know, I think this really resonated with black people because there was two white people that he supposedly killed. I don't even have to finish it to say, let me guess, you're going to make comparisons to lynching and shit that happened back in Jim Crow South. Like, is that where she's going with this?
The fact that she feels so comfortable saying it tells me that there's a problem.
Like, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, we can sympathize because he killed these white people right after Rodney King got beat up.
How is that not the most racist shit you've ever heard? And then, you know, white people sit there and they just bend the knee to these freaking racist motherfuckers. And, you know, we can't say the actual truth. It's like, you know, I remember I was in middle school when OJ happened. And by the way, he's meeting his judge now. So it doesn't really matter what you do here on earth. You will be judged accordingly. But I remember that trial. I remember watching the Bronco. Can you believe they actually showed that in school? Like, literally, school stopped.
Yeah.
And they were shows like, OJ Simpson.
The TV,
yeah, everybody's, we watched this.
Same.
Can you imagine doing that in today's school? It's like, why are they showing you that? And if that resonates with you, you say, yeah, that doesn't belong in school, then explain to me the trans bullshit.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not going to watch OJ in a chase, but we're going to teach you how to chop your nuts off and go from Bill to Bill A. I don't know. Billy
Who's
Island.
In the car with them? It was like a baseball player or something.
I forget.
Buddy. Yeah, his buddy was in the car with him.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong on this one. I don't. Was that racially charged?
The murder?
Yeah.
He was married
to a white girl.
To Nicole. Yeah.
Yeah, but so I'm kind of like, but
she was white.
But did you feel like?
I don't think it had anything to do with race. I think he was a jealous lover.
Yeah.
And
same.
Cut their heads off.
I think this was more. I don't think people were like, oh, he's got away with it because he's black. I think this was more the argument of like he got away with it because he's rich.
Yeah.
I don't think this was a black. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Chad. I'm sure there's a lot of people older than I am that ever remember when this actually played out. I don't think this was a black versus white thing. This was just
This is
a professional athlete, rich dude, got off. And I did see a thing today by one of the jurors, an old black lady. She said like 90% of us knew he was guilty, but we just let him off because essentially she inferred because white people. And I'm like, you're admitting to a crime. I was like, dude, and you wonder why racial tension is. I don't think the racial relations in this country are ever going to get fixed. I don't. Because of this nonsense right here.
Not with people like that.
No.
Not when they. Clearly, it wasn't racially motivated now, when he killed Anna Nicole Smith and Ron Goldman. He
now imagine
seemed like he was a jealous.
Yeah.
Jealous
now imagine if a white guy said that about a black person. It's like, yeah, we knew he was guilty, but or maybe the opposite. It's like, yeah, we knew he was innocent, but you know, he's black. It's
Rodney
like,
King.
Rodney King.
Okay. Yeah. Can't we all just get along? Except for those two people. Let's cut their heads off. Look like they deserve it.
Oh, it's insane, man. To sit there and say the things you say that black America felt very invested in this because it involved a black guy murdering two white people. I'm like, that makes you feel invested? That's news to me. I don't know. But then the thing that makes me laugh about this is that I saw this on Twitter. Somebody was defending OJ saying he was innocent. And then somebody in the comments was kind of like, yeah, but OJ even said, like, I could kill this person. I can get away with it because I'm OJ Simpson. And everybody was like, yeah, it's true. It's like, yeah, but didn't Donald Trump say I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it as well? It's like, yeah, it's true, too. It's he like, did. Maybe when you're a celebrity, you shouldn't say stupid shit because, well, in OJ's case, you are above it. You can get away with it. He did. He did get away. That guy was guilty of sin. He was guilty as sin.
You know, what did he go to? He went to jail for, like, the stealing his memorabilia back.
Yeah. That's what they got him for.
Yeah.
They got him for that.
And then the civil trial where
showing up to a hotel room. Showing up to a hotel room. And then beating the snot out of somebody that was like hawking his stuff. It's just nuts. Great news though, folks. Biden to forgive $7.4 billion more in student loan debt for 277,000 borrowers. What? All of this tax money, all of my tax money going to help these freaking liberals and their gender studies and all this nonsense. Why? What am I getting for this? Like you're penalizing me higher for being more successful. And then you're taking that money and you're giving it to these other people that want these degrees that are stupid. And here's the thing, even if they're not stupid and people are like, well, you know, cause here Let me pose this hypothetical to people. Do you feel like it's a right to go to college? Do you feel like it's a right?
No, it isn't.
It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Now, if you cannot afford to go to college, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Then you need to go find a job that you can eventually build skills into, put money aside, and eventually go to college if you want to, if you so choose, or go to a trade school.
Yeah.
Now, if you want a specialized job, I understand that.
If you want to be a doctor, an attorney.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I know why liberals don't like this. They feel like when you are popped out of the vagina or the man's butthole, depending on which one's carrying you, because they have the weirdest freaking ideologies, that everyone should start the same. That everyone should start the same. You should have access to the same possibilities. Meaning if you choose to be a doctor, you should be able to afford to go to college to be a doctor. Well, I've got news for you. It doesn't work that way. We do not all start out on the same playing field. Like, how would you change that? Like, well, we could spend more for those that can't afford it. Well, then we have to factor into the idea of, well, why can't they afford it? Because instantly people also just automatically feel, well, something to do with racism, slavery, poverty, blah, blah, blah. But nobody seems to bring up the possibility of, like, maybe they have just really bad spending habits. Maybe they have really bad fiscal decision making. and throwing more money at that. It'll be like raising taxes for the government. You already can't spend it effectively, so why are you taking more? And if you can agree with that, and you're a liberal, then explain to me why you think that doesn't apply towards subsidy programs. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense to me.
This is like the bank bailout all over again.
Oh, God, it feels like it's worse.
Because the government got involved in subsidizing college tuition. Yeah. The tuition went up
because
they know the government's going to pay for it.
100%.
Now these people can't pay for their loans, so they're probably tapping on the White House door being like, hey.
Yeah. Let's take some more calls. The number is what? 214. What is it? 817-1689. Did I get that right?
214-817-1689.
Oh, nailed it. There you go. There's the number. Feel free to call in. The Biden administration said Friday that it is using existing student loan forgiveness programs to cancel another round of student debt. Folks, $7.4 billion. 277,000 borrowers. Got a call? Go right ahead.
Start at the beep.
Yell out.
Hey, John and Josh. It's Liz from California. How are you guys?
Hey, Liz.
I'm so sorry.
Hi.
I'm so sorry you're in California. That sucks. Is this Liz Wallace?
Yeah.
Oh, what's up?
What's up? No, I just wanted to weigh in on the college thing.
Yeah.
Why aren't these schools being held accountable for selling degrees? Because that's essentially what they're doing, is selling the program.
Right.
To these kids that don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
They sell them these stupid degrees that they can't do anything with.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up having to go back to school to get an actual degree to get an actual job.
Yeah, but think about what you just said then. Now, who's going to regulate that? Who determines what a viable degree is? Essentially, you're talking about like saying that these are what we, I mean, if you think about it, colleges, they themselves are a business. I mean, they are. There's no other way to look at that.
Right.
But you still have to have the freedom of choice. So when you remove that freedom of choice, you're saying these are the only things that you can be. Now, if a college, I mean, it's like, imagine like a degree is just a product. All they're offering is a diversity of products. They're not guaranteeing the product's going to get you what you want it to be. Say, for example, they're going to offer you a degree and say like becoming a doctor. It doesn't mean you're going to get hired. Your chances have drastically increased because you probably will get hired, but there's no guarantee. But that being said, if they want to offer degrees in gender studies, I'm all for it. If people want to waste their money on it, I'm all for it. But what your point is, though, and I understand, is like, but now we're using taxpayer money to forgive debt of people getting these worthless degrees. So, yeah, I get it. But here's the thing, though. I agree. But give me an alternative. And the alternative for me is less government spending and pull the feds from investing in, you know, basically get a do away with federal education. Do away with federalized education in the sense of like the Department of Education. Let states dictate. And then I feel like when you get to that level, then you'll start to see a lot of these things kind of fix themselves. But until then, I agree with you. We're in a never-ending perpetual cycle of just stupid people doing stupid things with other people's money.
But yeah, and the reason I have this opinion is because I've done the college thing. Mm. I'm working on my master's right now. And when I was young and stupid and in my junior college years, I had a counselor trying to sell me on a journalism degree. Oh, well, it's a communications degree. Is this, that, and the other? You can take your photography classes. Well, luckily I have a father that does not allow me to do dumb shit, and he looks into it.
Right.
And so before I changed my major, he looked into it, and he's like, well, what fucking job are you going to do? So then we changed it back to psychology.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing, is that they sell you on these ideas.
Yeah.
They're snake oil salesmen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So unless you have, because what was I, 18? So unless if I didn't have my dad to sit there and, you know, beat me over the head with a 2x4.
Right.
I probably would have been some dumbass with a degree that in underwater basket weaving.
Yeah. But I mean.
Yeah.
It's, thank God for your father. That's why we need more fathers in their children's lives to kind of land. You know, that's parental responsibility. Because if you think about it, he stepped in because he probably understands how the education system is, or for like a dad's role is like, okay, how much money is this going to cost? It's like, I should probably do some investigating. And so he kind of like prevented you from making a mistake, which if you have children, if you ever decide to have children, you're not going to let them make that mistake either. So it's kind of like parental wisdom gets handed down. So I think the question is, what about parentless children that don't know any better? And so my question is, but then how do you fix that? Who regulates that? Who makes that determination? All you can do is education, because now, you know, to kind of offset your point, we live in an age where you can pick up your phone and you can learn anything. I mean, I'm learning beekeeping from freaking YouTube. Like, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing, but I'm watching YouTube and gleaning information.
I use YouTube for absolutely everything.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of like
university for everything.
There you go. So at what point do we say that's kind of like, okay, well, look, you, it's not like you have to go to the library and relearn the Dewey Decimal System and like find a book and then sit there for hours reading this book. You can literally glean that information in a matter of 30 minutes. So we do have to ask ourselves, at what point do we finally say, like, look, you've got no excuse. You had access to the information. You were just too lazy to look into it. Pay the money, you know?
Because they trust, and I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, again, yeah, yeah, of course.
I've witnessed it, and a good example is my cousin. Mm-hmm. So she got some stupid-ass historical literature degree, thought she could go be a
teacher. They probably think it'd be like Indiana Jones.
Right?
Yeah.
But she and her dad, who works for JPL, smartest guy in our family, right?
Mm.
He didn't look into it because he trusted the school system. He's like, oh, well, they're not going to give my kid a degree that, you know, that's useless.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those. It's like, unless you question everything and you just don't trust anybody,
like me and
my dad,
yep,
you're not going to figure it out.
Yep. But that's also kind of like a life lesson that you have to learn. Like, the biggest thing I can think about is like we were in Mexico. For I think it was, we went for my birthday last year. I think it was my birthday. And you got to learn how to haggle. You've got to learn how to haggle, or they're gonna like the first time they got me for like $80. I was so fucking pissed. It's like, all right, I've learned. Now I'm gonna go in there. I'm gonna be a prick. And that lesson kind of goes into other aspects of your life. Like, for example, we've had to cancel some people that we've been working with in the past to help with certain things, and that we basically just said, look, we have to renegotiate. As we've got to renegotiate, it's like what you're charging is just too much. So it's again, these are lessons that you learn in business, in life, in relationships that I feel like apply to everything. So it's kind of like, if you don't get put into those situations, how are you going to learn? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's just basic people skills.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest.
And if you don't learn, you're a liberal.
Talk to people. Well, that's a fuck. I have a they, them cousin that can't even order her own fucking entree when we go to lunch.
They, them.
Can't talk to people.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't. I only refer to her as cousin.
Yeah, it's sad though, because
I won't call her anything else.
The things that we've seen social media and stuff create, it's kind of like, it's enabled this type of social awkwardness that does not force these kids to go out into public and actually develop people skills. Instead, they can develop these skills that are like social skills, but for online. And that's not the same thing.
Right.
You know, you don't understand how to read body language, tone, inflection, things such as this. So these kids, I feel like, that are centered around their computers that never leave, they develop very, very odd social skills. And then when they're forced into the real world, their minds, it's not that they're, you know, and this is one thing I've learned as a kind of like a drill sergeant and stuff like that, is that it's not that they are intentionally being this weak on purpose. They are literally this weak. Like that's kind of like, you shouldn't be here. Like you need help. You need therapy. You need a father figure to come in there and mentally toughen you up, because this world is going to eat you alive. So it's like, I understand both sides of this.
Well, you brought it up.
Go ahead.
You brought it up several times where, well, what is social media doing to mental health? And I'm going to let you know, they are actually doing studies on this.
Oh yeah.
And these generations, their mental health is terrible. And can't remember the clinical disorder that's coming up in like droves, but it's pretty much called like the pick me disorder, right?
Oh yeah, pick
me
girls. Yeah.
They think that everybody's eyes. Yeah, and there's an actual term for it,
yeah.
But they think that what they do matters. And actually, you're the dude that set himself on fire,
yeah,
for Palestine, because that was a great fucking idea.
Yeah,
he's actually probably a perfect example of that, because he thought something stupid that he was doing was actually going to make a difference. He was self-centered enough to think that people were going to give a shit. But that's what social media does, because you think everyone's watching you. Everybody cares what you had for fucking breakfast this morning.
It's actually very true.
It's really...
No, that's actually very true, because I dealt with that in my own social media thing, to where, just being God's honest truth here, that when you have such a large following before you blow it all because you can't keep your mouth shut and stop getting banned on shit like I do, but you do feel like there is a sense of, I don't know if I call it entitlement, but like maybe hyperinflated self-worth or import. I don't know. Like, I don't know how you'd explain that,
it's like the ego.
Yeah. But I mean, well, of course, ego being the thing that everything is, you know, derived from, the ego, the id, whatever you want to call it. But when you take that at such a gross number of people and you apply that, it makes you wonder how society is going to adapt. Like the level of, for example, it's no different when somebody says, like, I'm unfollowing you. It's like, but what made you feel like you were important enough that I give a fuck about that? Like, and I'm being, I know people say this in a sense of like, I don't even know who you are, like to troll, but I'm being sincere. It's like, I don't care. You're not important. Like, I don't, and the thing is, I understand that, but the question is, why don't you? Like, why don't you understand that? Like, why do you think that you're, like, your opinion matters? And I'm not talking about you personally, I'm just talking about in general. And it's like, why do, I don't know. But I'm not trying to trivialize people wanting to make their opinions known. I mean, it's why we do a podcast, I get it. But it does call into question, you talk about mental health. You know, like I said, I'm pushing 40. Mental health, Josh, you're older than me. Mental health was never a thing.
No.
And I'm not saying that it's something that we should ignore.
No.
But I feel like it's kind of like the ADHD thing that now everybody's got it. And it's like, really? Or maybe you just got a lot of kids that never got spanked and you never taught them how to focus their attention versus kids that actually do have it.
There it is.
And I would say, and as somebody that was diagnosed with ADHD at age 9 and then re-diagnosed as an adult, it irritates the fuck out of me. All these people, oh, I got ADHD. Everybody's got it. It's like, no. Or I don't know if you saw the other one where the chick was having an interview. And she's like, well, do you have accommodations for time blindness? I have ADHD. John, I've been late to work a couple of times, but that's my fault.
Yeah.
I know that I'll lose track of time, so I set fucking timers. So I know, okay, cool, if this timer goes off, I have 5 minutes to get out the door.
Yeah.
When that timer goes off, I better be out the fucking door.
Yeah.
It's like, when the hell did we expect the world to mold to us instead of us trying to fit into the world? Like, it's bullshit.
Yeah. I agree. If I had an employee interview for that, it's like, do you make accommodations for this, this, and this? It's like, unless it's like you need a ramp to wheel up to get into the doors, like, which I understand, versus do you have accommodations for time blindness? Like, that's a you problem. I don't give a fuck. I'm paying you for labor.
Yeah.
So if you can't get your ass here on time, I'll find somebody else. And that just to me is a symptom of
the
like
only
narcissism.
The only accommodation I've ever heard for ADHD that was kind of reasonable was written instructions.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if somebody's telling me what to do, I'm going to write it down because I know I'm going to forget.
That's what they train us in the Army. Yeah. I'm not even lying. Like when you get to a certain rank or even when you're a brand new, probably doesn't matter. You go to your team leader meetings. They always say you better have something to write with and write on. You better take notes. And like they drill that into you. And I feel like people forget about that. Now we have our phones. Like, I'll just put it in my notes on my phone. So it's kind of like, it's like basic life skills that a lot of people should have learned at a very young age. But unfortunately, like you said, we've got all these businesses like, well, you know, like people, they talk about like how great it is to work at Google. Like I remember watching on TikTok, this woman's like, join me in a day in the life at Google. Well, first I get to work at 11 because the first 2 hours I like to meditate and drink myself a pumpkin spice latte while I rub my nipples with peanut butter and scream at the sky. It's like, what the fuck kind of nonsense is this? Like I get that. Like we have a great work environment at Shell Shock. Like we cut like nobody. It's big boy rules, and everybody can handle it. It's very relaxed.
It's a CBD company.
It's we're high half the time. But anyway, a lot of it's just kind of like if you can't hack it here, you're fucking gone. So we do go through a lot of employees that will come in and they'll bullshit half the time. Like I've fired a lot of motherfuckers. Unfortunately, it's just the way it is. I think when it comes to business, I was talking to Andy Fasilli yesterday. By the way, I talked to him for a while. I'll tell you about that. But even Andy was kind of like, the hardest part of our business is finding good employees because, dude, this level of entitlement that I see, we've had people show up to job interviews in flip-flops and cargo shorts. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, are you kidding me? Now, I'm not saying you got to come in a tuxedo.
Well, I worked for the sheriff's department for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was getting hired as a jailer, there was people showing up in gang attire. Straight. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I don't get those people.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you look like a goddamn hoodlum. Like, who's going to let you, who's going to even allow you to try to take the background check?
I'll tell you this right now. Like, we have people applying to work at Shell Shock, and like when we open up new storefronts, they want to apply to like work in the store. If you show up and you've got multicolored hair, your shit's pierced, your face, no, I'm not hiring you. You represent me. You represent my brand. I want a professional, clean-cut, well-mannered, very educated person that's articulate behind that counter to make sales. Now, again, they don't have to be the best of the best out there, but I'm not going to have some fat, overweight, obese, blue-haired fucking bull-dyke lesbian. I was like, oh, my name's Crystal. What can I help you with? Like, that repels people. And people will sit, you know, all these freaking nonsense woke liberals like, well, we don't judge. Yes, you do. Yeah, I don't want walking into a CB store walking like you're walking into a tattoo place when everybody's inked up, their ears are gauged, they got the septum rings. It's like, dude, am I getting a tattoo or recruited from a gang? I don't know. I want them walking in there and feeling comfortable. And the first person that creates that environment is the motherfucker behind the desk. And if that dude or woman is not on point or not happy or doesn't look the part, you know, it repels people, and that translates to sales or the lack thereof. So everybody out there, like, screaming at the sky, like, oh, you sound so mean. It's like, bro, I don't give a fuck. It pays the bills, and that's the way it works.
But it's true. I'm tatted. Like, I'm sweet. Mm-hmm. But so when I'm in the office, I don't mind that, because we're allowed to show our tattoos now. It took forever, but
yeah,
county finally allows us to do it. But if I'm going where I'm actually negotiating a contract with a provider, or if I'm monitoring a provider, my tattoos are covered.
Oh yeah, same.
It doesn't make me less professional, but I'm gonna look more professional. Like, I'm 100% gonna have that,
because you care.
That county, because, administrator look.
Yes, because you care about how you're perceived. You want to be taken serious as a professional. And look, and some people will counter that and say, like, well, that's a them problem. Where them's the ones that have the money. Them's the ones that you're trying to get hired by. So guess what? You got to play the game. But, and that's why it comes from these narcissistic little shithead Gen Zers. It's like, you know, I could be able to do whatever I want and dress I want. They shouldn't judge me. But they do. So that's the way the world works. And if you don't like it, move to a different galaxy. I don't know what to tell them.
But then again, on the other hand, when I was working with substance use disorder people that were trying to look for treatment, I had my tattoos showing because I was more approachable.
There you go.
Yep. I looked like I could. Yep. I looked like I could, you know, relate.
Gangbanger? No, I'm kidding.
I'm part of that floral gang, you know? I got flowers all over my arm.
All right, Liz. Great talking to you. Thank you for calling. I got to take some more calls.
Well, I do want to tell you and Josh that you guys do make a difference, and I appreciate everything you do. My husband was never into politics, and talking to you guys, he's actually more aware.
Nice.
After listening to you guys. So you guys do make a difference.
I know more than these guys.
That Josh guy's real fucking retarded.
Like, yeah. Dummy.
Well, tell him I said thank you. I appreciate the kind words. I just had a little... Yeah, I had to have a little bitch fest yesterday, and then I go home and, you know, I talk to Sheila about it, and it's just like... I don't know. It's just you get banned and you just keep rebuilding and you get so fucking burned out because, you know, Elon promised free speech and I kind of didn't trust him from the get-go. And then you have all this nonsense. Like, what's the point? You build the platforms. They just pull the rug out from under you versus I've got the option to kind of just like homestead, relax, chill. But then there's the other part of me, like Josh says, like, you're going to, you know, he's like, you're passionate about this. And it's like one of those things, like, you can't help yourself. You're just drawn to it. I don't know why. It's so toxic.
I don't have an inflated ego enough to think you give a shit, but my husband and I did pout yesterday.
Thank you. No, it does mean a lot. I do appreciate that. Like, well, yeah, I just, you know, I think the biggest thing that aggravates me is that kind of like, and I'm just being honest here, I drive home and I turn on like Sean Hannity. This guy's a fucking moron. I'm sorry.
Why?
I like listening to diverse opinions, and then I like highlighting, okay, well, I disagree with him here, but here's why, versus just, you know, driving along, going north and south. I mean, half the people that listen to this show says, like, John, and thanks for your call, Liz. I do appreciate it. But half of them are just kind of like, you know, I don't agree with everything you say. And it's like, you shouldn't. You should always question what I say. And you should always know for yourself. And that's the only way you can, you know, prevent the possibility of turning into a cultist, regardless of which political camp or candidate you align yourself with. So I do like listening to Hannity. But I listen to this guy, and it's like, this guy's a fucking millionaire. This guy's a millionaire, and like, you listen to his stuff and you're just kind of like, why do people listen to you? Like, you get it wrong. But I don't know. It's weird.
He's been doing it for so long.
He has. You and know, I used to I really respect
to give
him.
To the guy. He's very good at what he does.
But what does he do?
Get in front of the camera and talk. I mean,
Yeah. I'm looking at more on the basis of like, are you providing me any kind of
the
political
information that he's putting out?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to Hannity and years.
Well, dude, I get so bored driving home on that road because it's like an hour trip for me to get home. So it's just kind of like I listen to Beck in the morning half the time because, again, I like listening to Conservative Inc. because you got to know what they're saying. You got to know what they're thinking. Regardless of whether I like it or not, Beck and the rest of them, they shape a lot of the GOP's opinions. And I want to listen to them. Take another call. We'll do one more call.
Hold on.
How down to 7.4 billion? Yeesh. Lost it. All right. All right. You've seen the articles coming out about U.S. fears Iran attack on Israel. Yellow. Yellow. 214-869-817. 817. Shit.
1-6. There we go.
There it is. There it is.
Got it.
They put the number in the chat, too. Thank you for that.
I will start at the beep.
Yellow.
Hey, guys.
What's going on, bro?
So I just want to enjoy this fine South Carolina weather.
Oh, what's it like up there? It's got to be cold, right?
Very windy, sunny. Oh, no, it's actually 67. It's
I
perfect.
Love South Carolina. It's so pretty.
Yeah, South Carolinas really don't get enough credit. They are very beautiful states.
Yeah. Especially in the upstate. And yeah. You go out in the mountains, it's
oh, cool. I'd love to move to the mountains.
You'd love to go hiking up Table Rock. That is a hike.
That sounds like fun. That'd be a great environment. Like, hey, we're just going to go out on a weekend. We're going to go hiking in the mountains. Like, down here, it's like, we're going to go hiking in the freaking nothing because there's nothing here. Texas is flat. There's nothing here. Anyway, I'm sorry. What were you going to say, brother?
Get mobbed by for some fucking hogs on hike.
Yeah, you're not wrong on that, depending on where you go. Yeah. Yep. What's going on, brother?
Hey, so I just... When you're talking to the lady last call,
mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't remember your name.
Liz.
Liz. I suck at that shit.
No, all same. Right. Don't worry.
So y'all were mentioning about social awkwardness, and yeah. It kind of reminded me of myself. I grew up troublesome kid. I was a little fucking shithead. Always on suspension because I was always bullying. I was always just own shit in class. So I never really had much of a childhood and got to go out to Disney World as a treat, hopefully to turn my behavior around. That never worked.
Yeah.
So I never really got to socialize much outside school. And when I was in school, stuck to myself after I broke myself out of the bullying habit. And I was pretty much a recluse until I joined the Army. And then I was opened up to the social life that is alcoholism. Really got me going on my social life there, for better or worse.
Right.
So now that I'm out, I don't have that social life now. So all I know how to do through social interactions is at work or online. Not really good at socializing with new faces or opening myself up for the dating world and that kind of stuff. Getting shit from my dad all the time. So I was wondering, maybe you might have some pointers. Social shut-in like myself.
Yeah. Bro, you know the answer. You're calling for me to confirm that.
Go
out
and drink.
Yeah. No. No, that's not the answer. Honestly, did not expect that. No, not go out and drink. It's Shell Shock Halo gummies. That's what's going to No, the answer, I'm telling you, like, it's... Now, first of all, I get it. The answer is the same question of John. What do I got to do better at doing push-ups? You got to do push-ups. Brother, you're going to have to get out there, and you're going to have to socialize. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go book a ticket to the next country music concert or whatever and then surround yourself completely. You know, dip your toe in the water. Go find some hobbies that maybe you want to take up or, like, maybe, you know, go be around people. What are the things that you like that you go out to and see and meet people with similar mindsets, similar interests, and start there? But you know the answer to that. It's not going to be behind the computer. You need to get out there and you need to make friends. And friends are, you know, people that you're going to have to build relationships with and stuff like that. And it's going to help. But ultimately, continuing to stay in and do it via the computers, it's no, you can't do that. You got to get out there, man. So don't jump off into the deep end and say, I'm going to start, you know, surrounding myself with a lot of people. Go to small events, small functions. You know, there's so many different opportunities. I forget what the app is called. There's an app you can download, and it basically Chat, help me out here for this. It's an app that
Meet up, something like that.
I think it's like
Grindr.
Grindr. It's not Grindr. Wrong kind of friends. It's more like they have events like they can do. They meet for they'll go to a nice restaurant, or they like it's like they do. I know they do like treasure hunts around city. There's a multitude of different things you can go check out. So it's kind of like there's nothing wrong with that. That's where you start, and it might not happen your first time, might not happen on your second time, but you just got to keep trying, man. You can't stop. I know the gym is one of them. You know, the gym, if you can conquer the gym, you can conquer anything as far as meeting people and not feeling intimidated, because I feel like a lot of people, like for me, it doesn't bother me. I don't give a fuck who's watching me. It just doesn't matter. You build that emotional callus. But if you can start off in a gym and not feel intimidated when you walk in there, and you can talk to people and have a good bubbly personality, develop that, bro, you can conquer anything when it comes to, you know, personality development disorder or anything like that. So I'm not saying start with a gym, but I am saying, number one, though, you should start with fitness. Go out there, get yourself in shape, cut back on the drinking. But yeah, get out in social events, dude. You know, that's just, and also you've got to ask yourself, what am I doing to be more sociable? Am I like extending the hand? Because again, that meme or that picture of like where you see the guy reaching down in the water to rescue the guy that's drowning. If the guy in the water that's not reaching out, you can't get him. So you've got to be willing to at least put your hand above water to get help or to go out there and meet people. Because if you're not, bro, they're not coming in there to get you. People are like, I'm going to find this guy and make him my friend, goddammit. It's like, doesn't work that way. So, yeah, that's the only answer I can give you, my man.
He has such an ugly face. I need to turn that around.
There you go. Maybe grow out a beard. That's what Josh does to hide the ugliness.
It works.
I'm never going to match that kind of sexiness.
Probably a good thing. Nah, bro, I appreciate your call. Yeah. I hope you do it. I hope you turn it around. And it's never too late, dude. It's never too late.
Yeah. Appreciate all you do. Please don't quit the show.
I appreciate it, bro. U.S. fears Iran attack on Israel. Tells diplomatic staff not to travel. What do they know that we don't? United States believes that an Iranian attack on Israel may be imminent and has instructed its diplomatic employees in Israel not to travel far from their homes in Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and Be'er Sheva in the south. The warning came after days of threats by Iran to retaliate against Israel for an airstrike April 1st in Damascus, Syria, that killed two generals and five officers responsible for attacks on Israel via terrorist proxy armies in recent months. If Iran attacks Israel, oh my God. Then you got the Palestinian wackos wanting Biden to like pull and withdraw all aid from freaking Israel. We're already giving aid to Gaza, which I don't think we should be doing. It's like, my thing is like, we shouldn't be involved in this. Like, stay out of it. Nothing. And if Iran attacks and other more neighboring Arab countries start attacking, bro, this could easily, you know, the thing that makes me nervous, this easily escalates. And it just feels like the longer this war carries on between Israel and Gaza, then it just feels like more people are going to get injured. Because you know there's going to be an Arab nation out there that's like, okay, now this is the day, time to strike, and they hit Israel. And then you know we're going to get pulled into it. And it's just like, oh my God.
Do you think Israel should start to pull back from?
No.
You think they just keep?
They're taking too long. Go in there and get rid of them. Like, I'm sorry, they just
rip the Band-Aid off.
Rip the Band-Aid off. The longer you prolate, it's turning into another Vietnam.
Have you even seen what's going on over there?
Not really. You know, some reporters are going in there reporting. I see a lot of it on Twitter. And then, you know, the press is putting out so much misinformation because, of course, they want to take Gaza's side. They want to paint the IDF as baby killers, yada, yada. Which I thought, like, you want to talk about the biggest manipulations of media coverage in the history of the world. When Gaza or Palestine, Hamas, they're all the same, goes over there and just murders 1,400 people, that press was very quickly replaced when Israel struck back.
Yeah.
When the rockets,
hostages.
Yes, they do. When the rockets started going back over towards Gaza, that's when the media narrative shifted to like, oh my God, I can't believe Israel's doing this. It's like they have absolutely every right. Like if you came, we did the same thing for 9/11 and everybody loved it. We'll put a boot in your ass and see you. But what suddenly what involves the Muslims? Oh, we got to defend the Muslims. Like, I don't give a shit about the Muslims. I'm not going to lie about that. I don't care. I do not care about Middle Eastern Muslims. I don't care about Middle Eastern Jews. It's not our fair. But when you take Americans and you say, you've got to make a choice, I'm going with Israel. Going with Israel. Because I'm telling you. And this is what people don't seem to understand. And like, this is why American liberals are some of the dumbest voters that are out there. Those Muslims that murdered those Jews, substitute Jews for Christians, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's the same.
To me, it is seems the same. They're making a statement.
Yeah. They will do this to anybody. They did it to us.
Not to do this again. I think this is Israel's statement to Hamas is...
They've lost violence of action. Don't stop. Stop listening to the world. Do your own thing. Go in there and just go after Rafah. If they say that's where the last remaining Hamas militants are holed up, you don't need permission, bro. This is war. Do it. Because the longer you take, the longer this is going to prolong, the more likelihood it is that, like, say, for example, Iran's going to step in. Because I'm honestly, everybody's watching Israel and Gaza. I'm kind of watching China right now. I'm wondering what China's thinking. Russia's with you, bogged down with Ukraine. We got Israel with Gaza and potentially Iran. And nobody's watching China. And China's like, I think
China prefers Biden in the White House.
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than Trump.
Absolutely, yeah.
They'll do what they have to do to try to keep this guy.
Yeah.
In office.
I won't say that Trump's not a good business dude when it comes to negotiating. I mean, I'm not going to say no to that. But at the same time, you know, China's going to be fine either way. It's just, I think it's more of like, how big is their profit margin going to be? Actually, absolutely. They're going to make money trading with us. But it's like, the question is how much? How much? Like the margins of profit for under Biden, they're probably making money hand over fist with us. Versus Trump, it's going to be like, no, they're going to negotiate it more. So it's like, I will give Trump that. He's a good negotiator. I'll give him that. His stocks are... not good though, but still. Either way. But I don't know, man. This whole Israel thing, it's like the longer they prolong this, man, it's gonna continue exacerbating. I don't know. If Iran strikes Israel, dude, I don't know what's gonna happen there. Will that pull America in?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it will. I think that's what like all these Democrats and rhinos have been waiting for is to get back into a good old-fashioned war where they could...
You think Democrats?
Yeah.
Seems like Democrats are more anti-Israel than anybody.
I just think they love war. I think all these people are just love
sending our sons and daughters off to fight in wars. I think that's money.
Yeah, it's about money. Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with principles or anything like that. Just sitting back, I mean, everything from paying off student loans.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting kickbacks from that. You're just not saying out it. Billions and billions of dollars and
printing more money?
Yeah, it's going in someone's pocket.
What is the next Fed determination on the rate? Don't they meet like 6 to 8 times a year? Six or eight? I think it is. I wonder what the next Fed drop's going to be. Can you look that up? We need a hot war to motivate the populace. Yeah. Colorado lawmakers sued for censoring critics of transgender felon name change bill. Democrat-led General Assembly also recently exempted itself from the state's open meetings law after losing court battle, with law taking effect as soon as Democrat governor signed it. As Scots, including author J.K. Rowling, faced the possibility of prosecution for misgendering people. It's for me, it's kind of like I intentionally do it because, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to lead with your pronouns,
I'm going to make fun of you.
You're going to have to give you a little pushback.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
It's like, no, absolutely not. Okay, possibly prosecution for misgendering people who identify as the opposite sex, even from their own homes. Coloradans face a less drastic threat, censorship of language that refers to males as such in public. The Institute of Free Speech sued several Centennial state lawmakers on behalf of two gender critical groups for shutting down and chilling their members' speech January 30th and March 27th legislative hearings, even purging the latter's official audio record of significant portions of one plaintiff's remarks. That's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. When you go to a meeting and, you know, the floor is yours, it has to be recorded. It has to be. Oh, my God. It, again, this goes back to the idea of, like, we should change the Constitution. They don't follow the Constitution.
Yeah.
What we should change is law enforcement measures as to those that violate the Constitution. By forcing speakers to adopt a contested ideology through mandatory use of female pronouns and non-legal names, a.k.a. dead names, for men who identify as women, Colorado lawmakers unlawfully privileged one viewpoint over another and silenced dissent. What the fuck? What the fuck? That's crazy to me. By forcing the state's House and Senate judiciary committees were considered what's informally called Tierra's Law, a bill that deems gender identity good cause for transgender felons to legally change their names, automatically satisfying one of the requirements for approval. It passed the House in March, the Senate last week, and is now awaiting action by Democratic Governor Jared Polis. The information bill name refers to Colorado drag performer known as Tierra Latris Kelly, who formerly worked at Club Q, the target of a mass shooting in 2022, started a fundraiser for club staff that raised nearly $10,000. Like, what? It blows my mind. Please stop talking about a subject you obviously know nothing about until you research the history. Reminder, that area is the birth of Christianity. So you're saying that by it being the birthplace of Christianity, that means we should send Americans to go die for it? Okay, fair enough. Why aren't you over there fighting now then? You're in the chat and, like, the lines are open. You can call. Like, okay, birthplace, that's great. So the historical relevancy has, I don't care. And isn't it always funny that you said, don't talk about things you don't know? Now, I know quite a little bit about war. I fought it for 4.5 fucking years. And I saw the patterns that were created back in 2000, 2001 are being recreated now. So if you think you know what you're talking about, one of us has actually went and fought, and we saw the conditions being very close to what they are now. And guess what? Israel is an actual ally. So if you want to go defend it because that's where it all came from, bro, I'll buy your plane ticket right now so you can go enlist in the IDF. Don't sit there and bullshit me in my fucking chat. Oh, you don't know. But fuck you. Go fight. I say the same things to those who hate Israel. Go join Gaza. You've got the opportunity. What do you? Don't sit here and bitch on social media about it. Go fucking fight. So if you feel so adamantly about it, it's just annoying. Just fucking annoying. Imagine that. It's like, hey, that's where Christianity was born. Which, by the way, it's Jewish now, which is not Christianity. Now, I'd love to go visit. I'd love to go visit the holy sites, absolutely.
It's beautiful.
But do you think I'm going to go over there and fight for this? What is it? You want the Crusades back? Is that what you're wanting? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Like, are you really that stupid? Talk about, you know. No, I'm not an expert on Israel. I never claimed to be. But I don't think it takes an expert on, like, geopolitical strategy when it comes to places like Israel of saying, I don't believe in sending Americans to go fight and die for the Jewish land. I just don't. I believe in fighting for America, which, if you really think about it, we have not done for quite some time because the GWAT, that was not about America. It just wasn't. We were lied to. Vietnam, preventing the spread of communism from North Vietnam to South Vietnam, didn't involve us. Korean War, didn't involve us. But sure, I mean, if you really think about it. Now, I understand that we do have to do military operations. I mean, we talked about, like, Noriega in the past. Like, I understand toppling dictators. But every single time, we were talking about this in the office the other day. Every single time America gets involved in toppling a potential dictatorship or an actual dictatorship, it fucks up. It fucks up royally. Maybe we should just stop interjecting ourselves in these worldwide affairs and just focus on American issues here at home, while maintaining a good, strong presence on our borders. No, we can't have that. Instead, we got to go fight and die in Israel. I want some revenge on the Ottoman Empire. I believe I'm owed reparations. Christians were slaughtered. Yeah. The lines are open. Yeah.
214.
Well, it's actually 1 hour and 28 minutes. We got to get going. But
Never mind.
Yeah, never mind. You had your chance. Don't talk about things you don't know. But fucking, yeah, then go fight. That's all there is to it. If you feel so, go fight. Is what it is. All right, that does it for today's episode of the All-American Savage Show podcast. Appreciate y'all being here. Thank you for all the calls. People, again, you gotta take one more call. We got one coming in?
Yeah,
let's do it. We'll take one more call. Yeah, the World Police.
Target the beep.
Yellow.
Yes, hi. Hello?
Yellow.
Sir? Yes, thank you. Hi, John. This is Hobo. I had a couple questions on maybe finding a young lady since you were giving out advice.
Oh, God. I thought you were gay.
Wait, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm not gay. That's terrible. How dare you, sir? Oh, my God. Now what am I going to do? Everybody thinks I'm not queer. I'm homosexual. Jesus. Listen, I'm sorry. I went on Grindr once, and I thought there were ladies on there. I didn't know. Well, okay.
Is that where you discovered Josh's profile?
Oh, Josh. He was fantastic. Oh, you should have seen his pictures. They were now I'm talking like I'm a gay man. That's fabulous. Okay, my God.
Oh, my God. Good Lord. It's like the Bob and Tom show all over again.
It's the best way to end the show.
It is the best way to end the show. All right, folks. That does it for today at the All-American Savage Show podcast. Don't forget, we are giving away, again, one mug or one free hemp mint tea with a Shell Shock mug. Go check it out on the website. Buy the mug. You get a free hemp Shell Shock tea. There's only 70 of them left. We're not bringing these back. This is the end of the teas. End of the teas. No more tea. Again, go to the shellshockcbd.com website, grab your mug, and you get a free tea in that order. Don't miss out. We appreciate your love and support. All right, and I think we're going to end it there. You got anything to add, my man?
You guys have a great weekend.
And as always, yachayim.